brought to you by Penguin. August Blue by Deborah Levy, read by Alex Dunmore. Chapter 1. Greece, September. I first saw her in a flea market in Athens, buying two mechanical dancing horses. The man who sold them to her was slipping a battery into the belly of the brown horse, a super heavy-duty zinc AA. He showed her that to start the horse, which was the length of two large hands, she had to lift up its tail. To stop it, she must pull the tail down. The brown horse had a string tied to its neck, and if she held the string upwards and outwards, she could direct its movements. Up went the tail, and the horse began to dance, its four hinged legs trotting in a circle. He then showed her the white horse, with its black mane and white hooves. Did she want him to slip a AA into its belly, so it too could begin its dance? Yes, she replied, in English. But her accent was from somewhere else. I was watching her from a stall laid out with miniature plaster statues of Zeus, Athena, Poseidon, Apollo, Aphrodite. Some of these gods and goddesses had been turned into fridge magnets, their final metamorphosis. She was wearing a black felt trilby hat. I couldn't see much of her face, because the blue clinical mask we were obliged to wear at this time was stretched over her mouth and nose. Standing with her was an elderly man, perhaps 80 years old. He did not respond to the horses with delight, as she was doing. Her body was animated, tall and lively, as she pulled the strings upwards and outwards. Her companion was still, stooped and silent. I couldn't be sure, but it seemed as if the horses made him nervous. He watched them gloomily, even with foreboding. Perhaps he would persuade her to walk away and save her money. When I glanced at the woman's feet, I noticed her scuffed brown leather shoes with high snakeskin heels. Her right toe lightly tapped, or perhaps danced, in time with the horses, who, guided by her hand, were now trotting together. I hoped they could hear me calling to them under the Attica sky. She paused to adjust her hat, tipping it forwards over her eyes. As her fingers searched for a strand of hair tucked under her hat, she looked in my direction. Not directly at me, but I sensed she knew I was there. It was 11 in the morning, but the mood she transmitted to me at that moment was dark and soft, like midnight. A light shower of rain began to fall on Athens, and with it came the smell of warm ancient stones and petrol from the cars and scooters. She bought both of the horses, and when she walked off with them, wrapped in newspaper, the old man, her companion, linked his arm with hers. They disappeared into the crowd. She seemed to be about my age, 34, and like me, she was wearing a tightly belted green raincoat. It was almost identical to mine, except hers had three gold buttons sewn onto the cuffs. We obviously wanted the same things. My startling thought at that moment was that she and I were the same person. She was me, and I was her. Perhaps she was a little more than I was. I sensed she had known I was standing nearby, and that she was taunting me. 1, 2, 3. I made my way to the stall and asked the man if I could see the horses. He told me that he had just sold the last two, but he had other mechanical dancing animals, a selection of dogs, for example. No, it was the horses I wanted. Yes, he said, but what people tend to like is how you lift up the tail of the animal to start the dance and push it down to stop. The tail is more interesting than a boring switch, he said. It's even like magic. And with this tail, I could start or end the magic any time I liked. What did it matter if it was a dog and not a horse? My piano teacher, Arthur Goldstein, had told me the piano was not the instrument. I was the instrument. He talked of my perfect pitch, my desire and ability.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?